skip in the intro, or is that just me?
Yeah, it seems shorter.
No, it just seems like at the very end, it was like a little skip. Anyways, everybody, welcome back to Total Disruption. I'm Mike Liberci. Good morning, Dr. Clendenning. How are you?
Good, the Michael Liberci. How are you doing today, man?
Good, minus the technical glitches there. I don't know what that was. I think it was on our last episode, too. I have to replay that part and double check it off camera. Yep. So what's going on? I hear the birds in the background over there. How's life in the what are you in the west?
The Great North Woods. I've got the door open this morning. It's a remarkably lovely temperature. We went from the hilarity of it is we went from winter, like still winter, like grab an extra coat, wear your hat and gloves to go outside. And literally one day we went to, I need to go swimming. Where's the pool? We jumped this huge and everything immediately exploded into green. The birds are going ballistic. So it's nice this morning. It's like, I don't know, 55 degrees outside. It's going to be mid 80s today. So I'm trying to get as much cold air into the father-in-law's house as I can to close it up for the day so we don't have to run the AC. So it's and it's nice, man. You got the view of the lake. The trees are kind of moving, the birds are chirping. It's one of those you just sit and listen and see how many things you can listen to. So it's pretty good.
That's an economical tactic. Try to get as much cold air into the house as possible so that you can avoid turning on the AC. So how long do you think that lasts? Like, is the house like vacuum sealed? It's kind of like you just
a little bit.
Throw out the bag open and then just seal it on cold air. Just throw
right.
It
and this is so that we've done this forever. Like this is how I grew up because this was before AC. Like a lot of people are like, before AC, is that like the dark ages? Yeah, that used to be a thing when I was a teenager and even into my 20s. I actually think into my early 30s before we had AC, AC was even a thing in homes, like central air just wasn't really a thing. That's what you did is when it got dark, you opened all the windows in the house during the hot season and you turned on fans and you pumped as much cold air, cooler air into the house as you possibly could. And you left it open in the mornings until, for the most part, it's usually like 9:30 in the morning and then you shut it down. You close the curtains on the blinds on the west side and the south side of the house to keep the sun from coming in. And it works like a cooler, right? You bring the cooler air in there and it keeps the house stable. So there's like, you can naturally, without, artificial AC, you can keep homes pretty, it's harder in the city. It's harder in the city because cities are made of rock. They're all concrete. They retain heat. It's tough to get it cool. So I get that. If you're in an apartment in town, it's much more challenging. You kind of need that. But we're out in the country. So, we did this with the ranch, barely used supplemental AC. I totally do that now. And, that's old farm tactics. It's just what it is. It's not necessarily. And is it economically wise to do it? Yeah. And the reality is you get nature inside the house. You get, you get pollen, you get all the other stuff that's coming in the house too. So, but it makes your immune system a little tougher. You're not as,
Maybe that's why I don't get
it. I say that and then I start sneezing. Yeah. I even said pollen and I started sneezing. That's funny.
So when I was growing up, my dad was, he was a frugal dude. He was, we'll call him not an electrician, but he worked like electric building, electrical and guidance, radar and guidance systems. And he was a frugal guy. He used to do his own car work. We built decks. We put in windows. We did everything. And what he installed was a big, powerful louvers, these slats that open up. It was a whole house fan. It was an industrial whole house fan. And the thing was about 3 feet by 3 feet or 2 feet by 2 feet, right? It was just a square of slats in the ceiling. When you'd flip that sucker on, you'd open the windows up and it would just draw air in all night long. So I guess he mathematically said, okay, let me get the economics down here as opposed to running air. If it's a cool enough night, let me draw in air all night long. And it was like you just had a constant breeze. And it was great. And it was a hum of a fan. It wasn't a big house at all. It was the hum of a fan. So it was kind of nice. I mean, I guess you know, there's some of that old school wisdom that is lost on us today. Some of that stuff's just going by the wayside with buttons and tech and everything else. I don't want to sound like a grizzled, you know, person, but there's advantages and there's disadvantages. I read something.
So let's go down that road. Like, let's march down that road. I know we had a plan of what we wanted to talk about there, but let's talk about some of that old school wisdom. And this goes back to, I heard somebody say it. Well, it's Gary is the guy that you guys have heard me mention him before. They were having a conversation on stage in front of about 20,000 people with this top producing individual. And this was back through COVID. And they made a statement and they're like, man, all the new tactics, we were struggling with that. And we went back to basics. He made that statement. I quote, we went back to basics, and Gary stopped him and he said, who gave you permission to get away from them? And I thought that was such a powerful statement in that moment. There are things in your business, in your life, that have always worked. They've always worked, right? It is the, now some of them, you know, to one of Mike's terms is grunt work. Some of them it is that. You know, there's stuff that has always worked. And yes, new and shiny looks great. And I'm sure there's some things that can work on that, but don't throw away what's working to try something new. Try something new in addition to. It's kind of like when you're at the gym and you hit a plateau, right, in your health journey, whether you hit a weight loss spot. It's not that you just stop everything you were doing to get where you were. You make a slight change. You add one little new thing or one slight variation, but you don't get away from what's working. You don't get away from the basics. So when we're thinking about like some of this old school wisdom, I'll tell you a little story on that. There's a guy named Dick Prenicky, and he was, dude's kind of like, he's my building motivational hero when it comes right down to it. He's like the original Bob the Builder kind of guy. So Dick Prenicky in the 60s, he was my age now, he was like 52 years old, moved to Alaska, moved to the middle of nowhere, Alaska on Twin Lakes, when at the time Twin Lakes was like so distant. It still is. You still have to take a float plane to get there. But he got dropped off in the bush, in the middle of the sticks, with some hand tools and enough beans to get him through. And he proceeded to build a life there. He built this amazing cabin, and the guy was a machinist before this and had some carpentry skills. But he built handles for all his tools because he just took the metal part of the tool, so just to go super ultra, ultra light. And then he proceeded to build this amazing cabin, amazing structure, incredible skills. I mean, the workmanship is epic. Like anytime I want to get inspired. And then he self-filmed the whole thing. Way before selfies was cool.
Oh,
he
had one of the,
called One Man's Wilderness. And I when we're talking old, as soon as Mike said that, you know, some of these old school skills, well, the carpentry skills that Dick was using at that time have been around for centuries. They're still around. They still work. I still use them. And so that's, you know, when you're looking for motivation for some of the old school skills, that's the great part about where we are right now. In our technology, I mean, YouTube alone, like if you want to know how to do something, start watching YouTube. You can learn how to do it. It's not a problem. So there's where I want to go to that is like, what are the basics in your life? Like, what are the basics in your business that you've gotten away from? You know, I know there's some that I've gotten away from, and I've recognized that recently in my life a little bit of, I am all encompassed in a current project that I have going on, and I don't have the capacity that I used to have. You know, Mike talked about this in another episode. In your 20s, I mean, there's nothing you can't do. 18, 20 hour days, go for broke. In your 30s, you're in 14 hour days kind of stuff. I am much more singular focused now in my 50s of, I do not have the emotional, mental, I'm getting better with the physical capacity. I feel a lot better than I did here a month ago. But it's a capacity thing. So like right now, there's things I'm not doing that are a major piece of my mental health that I have not done. And that's simply because I've just set them to the side. I gave myself permission to get away from the basics, and it's costing me. And I realized this, and I thought about this. Mike and I had a conversation a couple, 3 days ago that was still a fruitful conversation, but I know I was significantly more edgy in that conversation than I need to be in any way, shape, or form. And it's because I've allowed myself to get away from some of those basics, some of those old school tools, some of those things that I've had in my toolbox forever that I've just given my self permission to walk away from. So I know I kind of walked down like three different rabbit holes there about just that old school piece, but it's about what makes us genuine. It's about what makes us authentic. It's about what makes us us in overall when it comes right down to that. So when we're talking about this, when we start talking about this sales and this marketing piece, we've got to make sure we stay genuine to who we are, or it's going to seem not authentic.
I would think an every 3 day check-in would be a good tactical piece of advice to people. You know, just sort of run through your last 3 days every 3 days, and you take a look at 3 days gives you a good sample size of exactly where you're headed for the next 3 days. You go through, let's just say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yep, take a look. What did I do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? All right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You ever hear that week in review? I like to do two of those. I like to take a look what I've done. This way, you know, when you turn around and you've got a week underneath your belt and say, man, what did I do this week? Not even judging yourself, whether you're productive, not productive. That's a different conversation. Right? Mm-hmm. Who cares about that? I care about what did I do and how I can track and trace my life's time. You know, another thing that people don't realize is when you have like a health issue and you get sucked into dealing with your health issue, it takes away from every other thing. And that's why, you know, if you're young, you practice. If you feel good, you practice this concept of using some of this old school wisdom and some of these methodologies that you and I talk about. We talk about using our app, which is a sponsor of the show, the CRG Method app. We talk about utilizing training conversations, right? Better sales, better conversion. Using what little time you have to cultivate more knowledge, more energy, more momentum, and plugging yourself back into your business when the health thing's over or when you get used to it or when time settles. And I realize I just went from a couple different things, but I like to say, listen, every 3 days, have I done something? Have I done something to move my agenda forward? Where's my life, right? How's that sound to you when I say every 3 days?
I love the concept. I love where it's going. And that works for Mike, right? That works for Mike. For me, I've got to do it daily. And that's one of the things that I would, you know, that I'm talking about from I've let that go. And I was only doing like a 1 week check-in. I was doing a week in review for the last couple months. And the difference is I've been punchy. There's no doubt about it. I will own it. I have been punchy it's not just Mike. I'm going to be clear. Mike doesn't call me and I get mad with just Mike. Like I'm just punchy. I'm punchy with me. I'm punchy with the dog. I'm punchy with my wife, my kids, everybody. I'm just short. And I let it go too far. I let it get, you know, out of that control. And I said to myself, you know, well, I'll just, once I get done with the project, I'll return to where I was, but I was letting myself get too far away from it. That's going to be, you know, 4 months down the road by the time it's said and done is what's going to take me to finish the project. And the reality is for anybody that has ever built a home, that's ever built a new house or has a huge project or owns a house, there's no such thing as the project is done. That's a lie in of itself. You're always working on it. Mike's got a great friend with Go Green that works on his place. That's always projecting. You know, it's summertime. You mow the yard every 4 days. There's projecting that's going to be done. So that's a lie I'm telling myself. And I have to go back and go, all right, I have to intentionally run the play that works, right? Run the play that works. I've got a morning routine I got away from. Because I was saying, well, I'll let that go because I need to buy 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in my day so I can crush this project out. That was just a lie I was telling myself. And that's not the real truth about it. is the real truth is that's the thing that makes you more productive, is to run those healthy habits, right? It's gratitudes, it's affirmations, it's your morning routine. And for me, it's shooting my bow. Plain and simple. It is a piece of that. That is a meditative practice that I work on. And I have let that go. I got out of the habit of doing it because it was just too flipping cold outside. And I just didn't want to go out and shoot my bow. I was literally shooting in the hallway. Don't tell my father-in-law, but I had the target inside and was shooting down the hallway into his bedroom because he's not in the house right now. But totally what I was doing for a while. But once we started the house, I've only been shooting my bow like once a week. And that's having a mental mess with me. It just is. So just know there's stuff you got to keep doing, like to be genuinely who you are. So that, and the funny thing is, when you re-engage that, when you re-engage the system, you will find more clarity in the questions that you're asking. When you're plugged back into your business, what is the one thing I'm supposed to be doing? You know, if you're a gym rat like Mike is, I mean, he is at a gym all the time, not just every day. It's part of what he does in his business, but he's there all the time. I cannot imagine what would happen if Mike was not allowed to go to a gym. If you took all his workout equipment away and you took that away, like I can't even comprehend what that would look like. It would not be something that all of a sudden he's got all this freedom and all this time to just dig into something else. He wouldn't know what to do with all that time. It would be utter chaos.
And that, well, to be honest with you, that's pretty funny that you say that, because I have, you know, I did that early on in my career when I was relying heavy on external resistance. Then I went down the dual path, actually went down three paths, but the second path was the internal resistance and the, okay, what if, right? What can we do with body weight? What can we do when we're limited? What can we do here? And, you know, you roll down these disciplines and then it starts pulling your head out and going, wow, okay, there's different results here and there's different worlds. But yeah, when you get something taken away from you, it's not easy to restore, pivot if you don't plan. And
having it's a balance piece.
Having to settle socks, man. I mean, I know you can say having to settle socks. Like, you know, you're doing your project and you're working through some challenges of when you're building your house, and you know, you've had to make some sacrifices, some compromises that you're fine with. It sucks. You wish you could wave a wand. But then you move on, and you instantaneously move on, and you make things work. And then, hey, at the end of the day, it looks good. Good enough, right?
Yeah, and there's some truth in that. Like, perfection is unattainable. And if we go on the house analogy, there's nothing in there I'm unhappy about. There's nothing in there I'm disappointed in the way that I've built it or the way that I've put it together. It's going per plan when it comes right down to it. I can look at it and go, yeah, I'm cool with that. We've made a couple of upgrade decisions that I thought were great decisions in the moment. And I still like them. I think they're cool. There's a couple of, you know, it's mostly in design. You know, from a construction perspective, I worked for, holy cow, at least 6 months in design in my head. I've built this house 50 times in my head. I've walked through it 50 times in my head. I know all the systems where they're all going to go. And I had a pretty solid plan of what I wanted to do. But even yesterday, I found I had to make some variations in electrical. I'm currently pulling wires, which doesn't sound like a lot of, you know, doesn't sound like it's really hard work. But I challenge you to grab a wire about the size of your pinky, without having a big knot on the end of it to really get a good grip on, and then try to pull it through 50 foot of wall. Like, my hands are tired today just from trying to yank all this wire. But I had to make some design changes because there's some structural components in the house. You can't just take a drill and punch a hole through them to pull the wire through there. So there's some routing things that I hadn't foreseen in my head, and you've got to make some of those adaptations. And you got to be willing to do it. And at the end of the day, is the design going to be something I'm proud of? Yeah, it's going to be something that I'm proud of. And everything in there I will have built, I will have done on my own. And there's something to say about that. Now, could I do it faster? 100%. How do I do it faster? Leverage. Plain and simple. I could be hiring a lot of the stuff out. Absolutely true. And I use this as the reference for business. is because I said, you know, I've touched everything in there. I'm doing it all. I'm proud of it at the end of the day. And I'm kind of talking to the solopreneurs out there that are the bottleneck in your business right now. Absolutely true. I could hire everything out in this house. I designed it, still going to be the house that I designed. I could oversee it and I could just be the general contractor and I'd still be happy with it when it's done. Absolutely true. And I could get it done faster with leverage and I could be focusing my time on something else that might be a better use and higher and better use of my time in that space. Valid. I only simply made the decision to do this for myself. Like plain and simple, that's what I want. I made the decision to do it. It's not that I feel I do a better job than everybody else. That's not true. That would be a lie. There are contractors that are better framers, better contractors, better plumbers, better electricians, better trim guys, better cabinet guys. They're all out there. I could hire all of them. I just simply made the decision to do it this way. So the same is true in your business. Everything you're doing in your business, there is somebody out there that's better at it that you could hire. Absolutely true. That you could leverage, you know, and we're talking this sales and marketing thing too. There's absolutely somebody out there that can write better copy than I can. No question that there's somebody that can write better copy. And do we hire them? Right. And do we hire them? Yes, we hire them. 100%. We've got a marketing team that does the marketing for the podcast to grow the podcast, because that's not the highest and best use of Mike and I's time.
Right, but so here's a plus one to that. Not choppy here, but here's a plus one to that. When you do hire out though, you've got to compensate for other people's business time. And
yes, you do.
You've got to settle a little bit. When somebody says the word, I like their work, I like working with them, that means they've adapted. That referral means that person has adapted to the person they're referring you style and systems and processes. It means it works for their business. You know, the term so-and-so does good work means get through their engagement process because the work is going to be good. There's two different kinds of referrals, right? I like working with this person and this person does good work. They're two totally different.
That's a nice distinction.
Yeah. Yeah. And net result, most people, it's both. Or have you ever heard of the, hey, great doctor, terrible bedside manner? That's a little bit more applicable maybe. Or this guy seems a little bit unorganized, kind of a pain in the ass. However, delivers, over-delivers, and is amazing. Part of that process. So,
well, and there's a great example of what's he great at? What's his highest and best use in the business? Like the doctor may be an amazing doctor. He may be a great practitioner, might not just be looking at treating the symptoms, might be getting to the core root of the cause, which, you know, there's the selfless plug for the app because that's what it does, you know, but he has a terrible bedside manner, but that's not his highest and best use. So maybe he should have a nurse. Maybe she should have a physician's assistant, somebody that's doing the intake. Right. That's where that comes up is if you suck at something, hire somebody that's better at that and it will improve your business as a whole.
Yeah. Just be ready to work with that person. They're not on demand.
Yeah.
Partners and people are not on demand. They're not always ready when you are. That's why it pays to have some sort of working knowledge of your schedule in your life. This way you're not, how should I say, frustrated, because when you're ready to do something, this isn't like a kid and your parents. Like, I think a lot of people sometimes go down that rabbit hole where they mistake everything for, hey, can you make me an egg sandwich? Can you make me an omelet? Can you make me lunch or dinner? Ugh. You know, as a parent, you're like, oh, shit. Yeah, okay. And then you start to self-negotiate because you realize, like, you got to get it done anyway, so you might as well just do it. And as a parent, should have probably thought about that before you're doing whatever you're doing. But that's a separate conversation. Yep. All right. We're running low on time here, man. I don't want to kind of run on and mislead people. So we've covered a lot of ground today. I'm going to say go to total-disruption.com. Go check out CRG Method app. You know, we are here. We are here to help. Jake, you got anything to add?
Standard, leave a review wherever you find us on the podcast. Let us know that you're listening. Send up a smoke signal of some sort. Leave us a thumbs up on social media. Like, subscribe. Do the thing. Just let us know that the content you're getting is the content you want.
All right. For Dr. Clendenning, I'm Michael Bercy. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.